The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And welcome back as we head toward the final hour of the program. Eddie Conyers will join us shortly. We'll say farewell to our longtime producer later in the show. Your phone calls continue here at 855-242-7285. And if you hear, we're under a tornado warning where we currently are. So if you hear some wild, we just heard a warning go off here within the building. So if suddenly we're under the desk, that's the reason. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Jimmy is up next. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing? I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, Jimmy. Great to hear from you.
I've followed your show for many years, from Jocks Radio all the way up through your career with Birmingham Post-Herald. Very good jobs, Paul.
Thank you very much.
I'd just like to say you're very good, very successful, and I don't have to wonder why. But I would like to make a simple statement.
Sure.
On behalf of Jim from Tuscaloosa, legend, and Larry from Shelby, I would like to say that I-Man is so full of cow patty, you could give him an enema and bury him in a matchbox.
I like that.
That's true, Paul. He's been an enigma in the Alabama people's side, but he will fall by the way, just like all the Auburn people do.
Well, thank you very, very much for not only calling, but for bringing the word enema to our show. Haven't heard that in a long time, have you? That's like an old phrase that you would hear. That's like a grandma phrase. Papa Dub is in Charlotte. Hello, Papa Dub.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
Papa, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago about the group St. Paul and the Broken Bones. You able to listen to them yet?
I'm saving that for my vacation.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be some good music to travel with, no doubt about it. And I was thinking more about our conversation a couple of days ago from our Sabinville and you getting appointed mayor, which, you know, again, as I said, you're a shoe-in. And I started thinking about who would you have as your musical guest there to bring in your inaugural. And I was thinking, you know, us bringing Garth Brooks in, can get him to sing, you know, You Got Friends in Low Places. I think that would fit appropriately.
Yeah, but if we're in Sabinville, we have to keep it more Alabama-based, don't you think?
Well, yeah, because, you know, he was down in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I don't think Saban would like the idea of him doing calling Baton Rouge at Tiger Stadium. So I'm thinking, yeah, we get, there's so many great Alabama musicians from Lionel Richie, who's from Tuskegee, to Randy Owen from Fort Payne. You got Taylor Hicks, of course, who everyone hears here.
Oh, yeah. That's a good variety. But yeah.
Maybe we get the Commodores back. Commodores back together again. Oh. You think Lionel would do that?
Yeah. A brick house, baby.
You know, about 12 years ago, 11 years ago, there was a remember the terrible Tuscaloosa tornadoes in 2011, and yeah. Randy Owen, the lead singer for Alabama, put a benefit concert together, and he had a bunch of amazing performers. And I was supposed to introduce, I don't know, like some country singer. And at the last minute, they asked me, they said, could you introduce the Commodores?
And
I had to introduce the Commodores in front of 20,000 people. And the guy, the manager, I mean, he was like a guy out of like a mobster movie. And he told me exactly what I had to say. and how quickly I had to say it. And then he said, you need to get off the, I mean, blanket, off that blanket stage. I said, what's the deal? He said, because they're coming out and doing Brick House, and I don't want to see you on there. So, I mean, it was hilarious. I mean, I was like racing through this thing, 37 Grammys, 200, blah, 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 blah. That's good. And I ran off the stage. I think I dove off the stage. And they come out, and if you've ever seen the Commodores do Brick House, I mean, they get right to it. And there was a certain word that when I say, and now from Tuskegee, boom, you heard the
boom. Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Man, I tell you what, I am still in shock over that night.
Hey, but I was also thinking about Paul, we may have overshot ourselves here on our, like our acreage of we're taking up at the University of Alabama. I mean, you know the landscape of Bryant-Denny Stadium, and I think we already go for, you know, you've heard the old cliche, addition by subtraction.
Right.
Well, you know, you know the land, so, you know, north, the south side is Paul W. Bryant Drive. The north side is University Boulevard.
Oh, absolutely.
And then on the west side, you've got, you know, Wallace Wade Avenue, which that's where the Rammer Jammer's at. Well, on the east side, there's a kind of a popular street there, and I think we need to call it Paul Feinbaum Boulevard.
I don't want my name on a boulevard.
That's where Sorority Row is at. So, you know, I mean, Paul Feinbaum on Sorority Row, I mean, that's kind of a good mix,
no,
right?
I was in Tuscaloosa twice last year. For games, and they took us to our set, and we had to go past Sorority Row both times, and I don't think I'm capable of surviving that. Miss Pat in Georgia is up next.
Hello, Paul. I wanted to respond to the gentleman that said, like all Auburn fans, we fall away. We don't fall away. We just don't have as much to crow about right now. Okay.
Okay.
And I've been on vacation a couple of days, and I missed your show, but I'm glad to be back.
Well, Pat, if I could ask you, where have you been?
We went to Panama City Beach.
Oh, my goodness.
I haven't been there for a long time. Oh, it was beautiful.
I love it down
the
there.
Weather.
I'm going to be down there in a couple of weeks.
It was
beautiful. Well, not actually in Panama City. I'm going to be in Miramar.
Well, we were on the Sunnyside Beach that's, you know, west of Panama City proper, but it was just gorgeous, and we used to go there as a child because it's only 90 miles from my hometown, so, and came back today, got a speeding ticket, everything, so.
Oh, my goodness.
But we're glad to be home.
Well, I am glad. Pat, first of all, I'm really glad you're back. I felt badly when we had that little breakup.
Well, that was my fault, and I apologize.
No, it was my fault, Pat. I should have never snuck around on you like that.
Well, thank you, Paula. I appreciate it, and I do love your show.
I just feel badly. I felt, you know, Pat broke up with me live on television. It hurt.
It was awful.
Yeah, I just, you know, breaking up is hard to do. We are heading to the break. I cannot wait for our next guest. He is Eddie Conders, a character extraordinaire. He has officiated Alabama practices for 60 years. He's going into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame this weekend, and we will talk to him next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
It's a very special weekend in Alabama. The Alabama Sports Hall of Fame is has a number of honorees and some great inductees, including our next guest. He is 93-year-old Eddie Conyers, who has been heard on this program often throughout the years. He's the recipient of the 2022 Frank Pig House Award and commemorating more than 60 years of contribution at the University of Alabama. Eddie, it's a pleasure to have you. I know what a special weekend it is for you and your many members of your family and friends. How are you? Good afternoon.
Paul, doing great, but I'm 94 rather than 93. But I appreciate the 93.
Well, you must have hit a birthday since I've seen you last.
Yeah, April the 9th. April 9th, I was 94, Paul. I think that's what you tell me. I don't keep up with much anymore.
Wait, do you feel any older at 94 than at 93?
Feel younger, Paul. I'm chasing women.
Yeah, Eddie, tonight and tomorrow, I know there's a private thing tonight and one tomorrow night. I mean, I hope somebody's going to keep their eyes on you.
Well, speaking of that, Paul, I talked to a real good friend of yours this afternoon over at the Hall of Fame, Gene Hallman. And he mentioned something about some money you owed him, but I said I really shouldn't mention that probably.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Gene, because Gene, who is one of my closest friends, as you know, is receiving the 2022 Distinguished American Sportsman Award tomorrow night, and it's a very coveted award, and he is certainly eminently qualified and deserving. So certainly if you see him tomorrow, give him my best. I'll be speaking to him next week.
I'll certainly do that, Paul. And he certainly thought a lot of you. I questioned a lot of things, but he still thought a lot of you.
I'll tell this story again, Eddie. I'm out in Houston a number of years ago with my friend Paul Tyson and David Upton. We're at the Paul Bryan Awards. I think it was 08 or 09. I think it was 08.
Yeah,
and Saban was supposed to win, and he didn't. But that's not what I remembered about the event. I'm sitting there, and they, you know, some old codger gets up there, and who at the time was only 81, and he's cracking jokes, and I'm like, and I asked, I think it was Paul Tyson, who was there to give out the award for in honor of his grandfather. I said, who is this guy? And because, I mean, you were hilarious. I mean, there were some big time. They were honoring a lot of players that night. From not only it was a Hall of Fame commemoration. I mean, you brought the house down. And I called you afterwards. I said, I've never heard a guy funnier in my life. And I had been to a million practices and had no earthly idea who you were.
Well, I appreciate so much you saying that. Yeah, that was quite a night. That was a big to-do. In fact, I was talking to Mark today, and when he announced the winner, you remember the winner was a coach at Boise State, I remember. And really and truthfully, Coach Saban had won the national championship that year. But
it was 09, yeah. I remember I was with Upton, David Upton, who and his brother owned Crane Works. And he looked at me and said, let's get out of here. I mean, we ran as fast as we could out of that. I mean, it was like, how could Nick Saban not win this?
You should have been on the plane riding back.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, it was not much to tell. It was deathly quiet away.
Because it's right in the middle of recruiting, and you have to go if you're going to win. And he did win 2 years ago. He won it when he was at LSU as well. But it's a long way to go to lose.
Oh, yeah. And I think he wasn't so upset about that as he was the time wasted.
Yeah.
Coach Saban is a master of his time, and he doesn't want to waste his time on anything.
So I mean, Eddie, we could spend hours talking to you. I mean, you served this nation twice in two different wars. But how did you end up getting this gig that has lasted more than 60 years as being the official at the Alabama practices?
Well, Carney Lassley, I don't know if you remember, he was Coach Brown's kind of right-hand man. Now you would probably call him football operations man. But he called me trying to find a guy named Gordon Pettis who was in the SEC.
Oh, sure.
And had gone to Alabama in probably 59 or 60. Coach Bryant with the rationale, if we get penalties, let's get him on the practice field or in the ball game. Now, whether or not he was the first one to do that or not, I really don't know. But anyway, Gordon had moved to Chattanooga. Carney called me trying to find Gordon because we worked together. And when I told him Gordon was in Chattanooga, Carney likes to die because Coach Bryant told you to do something. You did it. You didn't go back and say, Coach, I couldn't get a gun. Maybe next time. And we'll get on next time. But anyway, he said, well, do you officiate football? And I said, yes, I do. I didn't tell him that I'd worked two high school games in my life. one of those was on the clock. And here I am going to the Alabama football practice. And if you're familiar with Tuscaloosa, right there by the stadium is an eating place right there now, Ramma Jamma or something like that. It used to be a filling station.
Right.
I went in that filling station, put my uniform on, went out to practice terrified and intimidated. And a little manager said, Coach Bryant wants to talk to you. And I went up to him, and I remember I said, Coach, what do you want me to do? And Coach Bryant talked low, and he mumbled, and he wasn't interested in me, but he said, aren't you go, that goddamn bug, that. I don't know what the heck he said. But I did what you would do and anybody else. I said, yes, sir. But I did hear him say offense, so I went and stayed with the offensive team. And that's how it got started. I didn't think it was going to be a long-time deal. The next Saturday, by the way, after that, Alabama played and had zero penalties. I know that was coincidental, my being there, but Carney called me the next Monday and said, Coach Brown wants you back out here. And I can remember telling Carney, I said, Carney, I can't come out there. I got a job. And Carney, his exact words to me was, that ain't my problem.
So you were
he
out
said,
there.
That's your problem. Yeah. When I said, Paul, no mention of pay was ever made. None was ever forthcoming. After about 7 or 8 years, Carney came to me one day and said something to the effect the NCAA said that if you're on a football in an advisory capacity, you're going to have to be compensated. I didn't know what the hell he meant. And he said, from now on, practice would be $10. And, Paul, I swear, I thought he meant I had to pay $10. Yeah.
So
I got $5.
How did you, so how did you work it out with your employer?
Well, we at that time we had 2 weeks vacation, and I just took 1 week. And I worked it out with him. I said, I'm going out there. We just have to work this out. And it was frantic there for a time, but it somehow or another worked out. I'm not still going out there, but I make arrangements for the officials to go out there. I have different guys. I have a guy named Fred Cody and some guys that are around there in Tuscaloosa that go out. We have four every day now. We're out for a long time. I was the only one. Paul, I worked the darn scrimmages by myself. I was the only official on the field. I remember one day when Namath was there, we went to the stadium, and Coach Brown put the ball on the 10-yard line, told him you better get the ball in the end zone. And Joe went out there on a run-pass option and started running to the end zone. And about the 2-yard line, he dives, and the ball breaks the goal line, and I went up a touchdown, but his knee had actually touched about the 1.5-yard line. It was very plain, but so out and open. And I mean, the coach had like that a stroke. They said, well, his knee was down, and I remember telling Coach Brown, I said, well, Coach, the ball is where the ball is when his knee touches, not where his knee touches. And he told me I better be right. I went home, read every rule book, called the NCAA, and finally found out it was right. But he never mentioned it again, so evidently it was right.
I know we've talked to you in the past about Coach Saban, but let me stay with Coach Bryant for a second because you know everyone knows how intimidating he was. How would you describe day to day being with him? I mean, did you guys ever? I mean, I'm sure you got past those early days. What was he like to be around?
he was a total concentration on what he was doing and totally into what he was doing. It was like, it's kind of hard to explain, but it was like he was over everything, as he was, of course, and you were just incidental. And but he was totally into what he was doing. And when he was up on the tower, Paul, and when he got ready to come down, he had a little chain that would cross there, and that chain would come down hit the side of that tower. And when that chain hit the side of the tower, there were about 80 heads turned immediately to see where he was. And terror is a word that comes to mind, because he was coming down, and there was a chance somebody might be going out. But he was totally into what he was doing, and it was a concentration like I've never seen.
Eddie, when he retired, I mean, you had to think like all of us. I mean, you had known him a lot better than I had. I'd only been there the last couple of years. That you had to think, the greatest experience of my life has just ended from an officiating standpoint. I was around the greatest coach of all time. In your wildest dreams, and I know I'm pushing you at 94 to have wild dreams, but
I enjoy them though.
But, I mean, what would you have said if I had knocked on your shoulder that last practice in December of 1982 and I said, Eddie, one of these days you're going to be the official at a coach better than Paul Bryant?
Oh, gosh, I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't imagine it because I get asked a lot who to compare those two, and I always say that Coach Bryant took ordinary people like Jerry Duncan. You know Jerry Duncan, of course.
Yeah, a great friend of mine.
He took ordinary people like that and made extraordinary players out of them. And Coach Saban takes extraordinary players and makes them more extraordinary. And Coach Saban is, because both of them are tremendous leaders of individuals. You just walked into a room and you said, I'm going to follow this guy. And there's a great quote from Disraeli about leadership where he said he was more afraid of 100 sheep led by a lion than 100 lions led by a sheep. And well, under Coach Saban and Coach Bryant, you had 100 lions led by a bigger lion.
What is Nick Saban like on the practice field?
When I mentioned concentration, he's totally into what he's doing, and evidently Coach Saban had tremendous work ethics, and I've heard tales of his daddy,
right,
where they would say when he would wash a car, he'd come out and Saban had left a spot in the car and make him redo it. But he evidently had great work ethics. He's totally in what he's doing, and you do a thing right. I tell people often, if a defensive back would intercept a pass and Saban wanted him on the outside of the receiver, but he was on the inside, even though he intercepted the pass, returned for a touchdown, Saban would first get on him because he was not in the right place. He wants things done right, and there's nothing wrong with that, of course. I wish I could live by that, going right every time.
And I don't want to leave out, I mean, there were other coaches that you were. I mean, Gene Stallings won a national championship in 1992. And I always felt like Stallings had this utterly bizarre relationship with officials. I mean, Dick Burleson, I'm sure somebody you knew well. He was a retired general, and he officiated a number of games. And he told me that, you know, they had a great relationship, but from minute to minute, I mean, Gene Stallings could turn into the most difficult person an official would ever know.
Coach Stallings didn't see black and white on his shirt. He saw red. he did have kind of a misunderstanding with officials at the time, but that was just, Coach Stallings was kind of plain vanilla and athletic vernacular. He just believed you got 11, we got 11. Here, let's just line up and play.
As a
great guy, though, great coach.
I would like to get, as you head into this weekend, I know we're joking a lot, but, I mean, you're going to be in rarefied air tomorrow night. Not that you haven't been in that, but this is distinction mean, being honored with great athletes who are going in? I mentioned Gene Hallman, others who are receiving accolades. There's going to be a lot of people there. Your family will be there. What does this mean to you, and how would you describe this moment in your life?
Well, Paul, when they first called and told me, I can remember for the first time in my life, I was speechless. And I don't know how to say it. Other than that, I was just so overwhelmed. I honestly did not know what to say. And I just simply said, thank you. It was overwhelming to me. I've never in my life had anything quite like this. And it's just a real honor, and I'm very cognizant of that, by the way, certainly.
Well, Eddie, on behalf of all of us, congratulations. It gives us all great pleasure to know that what this weekend means, especially to your family, you've seen a lot of things, but for them to see you being put on this pedestal, I know is very meaningful. Congratulations again, and I cannot wait to see you soon.
Okay, Paul, I've been married 73 years. We own our fourth bottle of Tabasco.
what a closing line. Eddie Connors dropping the mic. Be well, Eddie. Enjoy the weekend in Birmingham. We're heading to a break. Speaking about being honored, we're going to be joined next by the longtime host of this program for a specific reason. Tonight is his last day here, and we'll talk to him in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're now bringing the radio audience back. They were not here for those 2.5 minutes. So to everyone, we are back here. Final couple of segments of the show. Mark Kubiak. And one last headline. This is in Saturday Down South. Obviously a pretty bad day at the news desk at Saturday Down South. This just moved. Feinbaum says farewell to longtime lead producer Mark Kubiak. So what I'd like to do, Mark, is go back to the beginning. I met you. You worked at ESPNU. Mm-hmm. I was in this building after moving here doing the radio show before the SEC Network launched. I'll give you credit. You came in pretty quickly and said you'd like to hang out. So you hung out for a number of months.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is right when your book came out. I'll never forget this because I sat in that radio room with you. And all I heard was the Sharpie, and you were signing the books nonstop because you had
it was a big book. This is the book that we've talked about before. My conference can right be there. Your conference, yeah. And because of the advance and everything that went into this book, I had to sign like about 5,000 copies of the book.
Yes. And so you were doing that during the show, and I was amazed.
There was no way to do it. I once went on a trip, and I signed them the entire flight, and then I found out I still had a couple of thousand to sign, so I would sign them during the radio show.
Yeah, but I remember sitting in that room, and I didn't know much about the show, but I sat there for like 2 hours listening, and it was actually an I-Man call, back and forth, and I just sat there. I walked out, and I go, wow. I think I can sit here and listen to this every day for 8 years, 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. No, I mean, if you could do it, why not? So it was fun because when we jumped in and I was like, yes, I'd love to do this. And right after that, we started getting calls from a lot of the regulars, getting pictures, getting, emails and things like that. And, you know, getting their, everybody loved to see their picture on the screen and being involved with it. And you kind of saw everybody that you brought in, and it was off to the races.
And you brought a different element. You're from Rochester, New York. You went to St. Bonaventure. Your dad's a Notre Dame guy. Mm-hmm. So you were not, I mean, you knew the SEC, but it's not like you had lived it like the rest of us.
No, that was all new. That was all new. And it was eye-opening. I mean, my first experience with the SEC, let's be honest, in the 80s when I was growing up, the SEC wasn't great.
No.
Boo.
You know? Notre Dame won a national championship. Miami was really good. I was rooting for Alabama when they beat Miami in 92, you know, because I was like, oh, this Alabama team, I've never seen them be good before. Now they're beating Miami, who was really good. So this was great. But truly, my first SEC experience was Steve Spurrier, and like watching those Gator teams and watching them come through. So fast forward, when I get into this role and everything, it's still one of the coolest things. I get giggles every time I do it. And I call Coach Spurrier to see if he wants to come on the show, and he calls me back. Hey, Mark, how you doing? You know, and he gets all excited. Coach, can you come on the show? And I giggle like so cool, because it was just something like that was my first experience with the SEC, watching him in the 90s dominate. And now calling him to come on the show, I was like, this is awesome. Loved it.
We're also going to include some of your calls here, because I know a lot of people, lot of people want to say goodbye.
Goodbye. There's probably, I'm sure there's
Randy,
some other
you
things.
Randy, anything to say? Randy's already left.
Wait, Paul, there is one thing before we get to the calls. Okay. There is something I did want to leave for the show.
Okay.
This is important. Everybody, we talked about the trophy. I don't know if, Randy, you can zoom in on that. We have the page 54 Paul Feinbaum Caller of the Year Award. Wow. And since everybody has an NIL sponsorship, I sponsored it myself.
That is cool.
So I will send this out. And the first latest one, Legend, is the one I put on here. He's the latest call. Yeah, 2022
Okay,
Legend.
Well, why don't we put Legend on the phone here? Legend, you're on the air.
Woo! Now, Kubiak, I didn't know you was East Coast, baby. East Coast.
I did live in Baltimore for a little while, too, Legend, so there's that, too.
Hey, we brothers did. I grew up in Baltimore, man, watching Brooks Robinson, Johnny Unitas back in the day. Hey, man, I just want to tell you what a privilege it's been for you to be a part of the show, man. You know, there's a rule in the NFL, as a lifelong Colt fan, you may hate Tennessee, you may hate Auburn, but when that commissioner gets up there and says Peyton Manning, you forgive every sin he ever committed at Tennessee when he comes a part of Blue Nation. Booger McFarland, you out there, you can testify. You was LSU, but you became Blue Nation, baby. Won that championship with Peyton. But all's forgiven. And you're a Notre Dame fan, dude. And I hate Notre Dame with a passion. But the moment you signed on the line with Feinbaum, it took you a little while, brother, but you became a part of the family and the heavyweight champion of the Feinbaum Psycho World NWO has come out on the stage today to tell you, brother, you are the true champion, brother. We love you. We're going to miss you. Man, you are a legend. Let me tell you, when they said Quentin Nelson, I forgave everything Quentin Nelson ever did, brother, when he became a coach. And when you became a part of the Feinbaum family, we forgave all that Notre Dame stuff, dude. And if you ever want to come back to the house, I'll kick Jim's ass out of the basement. We'll use that pullout. You can sleep down there, brother. You're always a part of the family. And I got good news for you, Paul, before I get off. 20 more minutes, dude. The warden just texted me. You got your furlough for the weekend from the Psycho Feinbaum prison, brother. Enjoy your weekend.
Wonderful.
We love you, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Legend. Wait, before we take another one, I got to give this. This is one of my favorite. I didn't hear it today, and I couldn't get in, but you got to give a Kiss the Rings, Legend. I mean, I loved that. I was hoping to get one.
Jim is up next.
Paul, I told Hughes earlier, I'm actually sad about this. I really, really like Hughes. He did more to help me and treated me so well. And, you know, I'd be down many days about what's going on, and you know that. And Hughes just made a difference. He was a difference maker to me. I think he's been a fabulous difference maker to the show. He's cordial. He's a gentleman. He's nice. He's a quality person. I can attest to that.
Go on.
I'm really going to miss him. I don't think he can be the place.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.